Good afternoon, everybody out there in internet radio land listening to my show. Welcome to the show, the Church of the Soul's Evolution. I'm the Reverend Blake Ruby, and I am talking to you here from San Antonio, Texas. I was driving earlier today, and my thermometer in the car said 102 degrees. When I first got into the car, earlier on this afternoon, I had to go get some dry cleaning. I burned my elbow on my seatbelt, piece of metal, and I looked at the thermometer at that time. It said 106. So suffice it to say, it's pretty hot here in San Antonio. But what can you expect in South Texas, you know? Can't complain because I live here. The way I look at it, why complain? If you live in a place, you don't like the weather, well, then go somewhere else, you know? That makes sense? Anyway, welcome. Hope you had a good week. And today I'm going to talk about all kinds of things. Let me start off by saying a prayer to the creator of the universe. How many of you out there are praying to the creator of the universe? Don't you know that there really is only one real creator of the universe? The one that initiated the Big Bang all those billions of years ago. The universe is such an incredibly huge place. Just think about it. Even before the Milky Way galaxy was formed, when it was nothing more than swirling dust and rock, there existed a very large part of the universe already with lots and lots of galaxies. I won't bother your mind with numbers because I don't know for sure. No one really does, but we have astronomers and scientists who make these estimations of the size of the universe, the age of the universe, and I listen to them, but I don't believe in everything they say. I question their methods of getting their information, especially when they don't really have the right tools to make accurate estimations. I think if perhaps we were exploring other solar systems with our spacecraft, then it would be more believable. It would be more believable. You agree? Anyway, so those are my favorite words anyway. And so I woke up this morning, and it's a good segue into one thought, train of thought to another. You know, there's a lot of people out there listening to my show I know are very intelligent. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some extraterrestrials out there listening, because we've been visited here on Earth by many extraterrestrial species that are even now, in the past, even now, are monitoring us and visiting us for whatever reasons. And I'm humbled if they are listening out there. And all I can say is that you are awesome. You know, you have incredible intelligence. You know that, right? Their intelligence. To be able to traverse the universe in such a quick fashion out there and to go interdimensionally. I mean, imagine just meeting one of those extraterrestrials, like in your backyard. You had a big backyard one night. It probably would be better if one lived out in the country, you know, away from a lot of civilization, a lot of other neighbors, when you know, they could land and you could have a face-to-face encounter and look into their eyes and see these beings are beings that come from another world. I mean, it's hard to imagine. I mean, here in our solar system, we've got, besides Earth, we have Mars, and we've seen pictures of Mars because we've landed a lot of spaceships there and had quite a few rovers drive around and take pictures. And the Russians have landed a lot of spaceships on Venus. Did you know that? If you don't believe me, check it out on the internet. They've landed like 8 The very first one didn't last for just a few seconds when they landed it on the surface because of the heat and the pressure. And I think they're called the Vigera spacecraft, 1 through 8. And then the last one, it only was able to stay alive, so to speak, for just a few minutes because the temperature there on Venus is like hotter than oven, 900 degrees, and the pressure is enough to, you know, crumple aluminum, really thin metal. In other words, thick metal would be hard. Eventually, I think it would succumb to the pressure, but suffice it to say that the pressure there is a lot more than here on Earth. And also, we've been to Saturn's moon, Titan, and put a probe down there. We have to tell that they have an atmosphere there on one of Saturn's moons, although it consists of kind of, what's that, methane, I think, because in the atmosphere and also on the surface, which is kind of like a fossil fuel, if you will, I think. Also, did you know all of the moons that orbit Jupiter? There's Europa, Io, Callisto, and Ganymede. Did you know that there are some human beings that are living on Ganymede? Yeah, they're very advanced, a lot more advanced than us. They actually lived on a planet between Jupiter and Mars, which is now the asteroid belt, right? And at one time, many, many thousands of years ago, they were involved with some overzealous experiments in antimatter, and they destroyed their own planet and had to move to Ganymede. So it goes, check out the internet if you don't believe me, type in, I visited Ganymede. It's a book that I've got. I read it in Spanish and English. And these human beings, they are, now, I've told you this before, I'm going to say it again. When we classify the planets, we talk about a scale of 1 to 9. And 1 being the lowest evolved, like here on Earth. Although it's a beautiful jewel of a planet with such an incredible variety of life, still, it's a category 1 on a scale of 1 to 9, which means that we are in the food chain with other animals, whether you like it or not. Animals eat each other on this planet. And we have to eat animals to survive. Done that in the past. A body can grow. Children are raised on eating meat and dairy products and eggs, right? Now, it might not be the most healthy option, but we're still in the stages of infancy, so to speak, in determining what is right to ingest in our bodies so that they function optimally. But in the meantime, if you're dying of hunger, if you're starving or dying of hunger, there's a lot of options that you have in the animal kingdom, which is okay. The bodies can digest all of that food. Most of them, most people, are able to digest meat, fish, chicken, turkey, whatever, pig, pork. And a category 1 planet is a planet, like I mentioned, that's in the lower evolutionary stages, but also it's a planet where the species are just kind of learning basic social values, learning to love each other and not kill each other, not be involved with, trying not to be involved with warfare, you know. But evolution is a very slow process. And sometimes it could take thousands and thousands of years for a civilization to develop to the stage where there is peace and no warfare. When we were born into this world all those years ago, we went through something, and you can check it out, type it in the internet, the River of Oblivion. If you didn't already know and you haven't heard my past radio shows, we existed before we were born. Yes, it's true. We existed before we were born, but we can't remember because we went through the River of Oblivion, which is like a veil that covers up all the memories of our past lives and universal knowledge. And the purpose of us going through that veil is because not only is it a Category 1 planet here, but it's a very specific learning environment. As I mentioned, social values, learning to love each other. And that perhaps is the biggest thing of all. But as we see each and every new day come and go, and every day is different, as we traverse around our sun, which is going around the Milky Way galaxy. So in other words, we're not in the same place we were yesterday, my friends, in our trip around the galaxy, in our trip around the universe, because everything is revolving around the center of the universe. You don't think so? Well, sorry to burst your bubble, but that's true. Nothing to worry about. I mean, you won't worry about it yesterday, right? And you won't worry about it tomorrow. But the fact is, we are moving through space at a very fast speed. And planet Earth is moving on its axis also, about 600 miles an hour, at a tilt of 23 degrees, revolving around the sun. One full revolution, as you know, is 365 days. And our sun is revolving around the center of the Milky Way galaxy. So we were born into this world. We were born into this world to learn and to evolve. It is, planet Earth is like a school. In the University of the Universe. You like that? University of the Universe. A school where we learn. Our objective is to graduate from this existence. One day we all die, right? Anybody disagree with that, that we're going to keep on living forever in our body? Our souls are eternal. Oh, did you know that? Our souls are eternal. And our spirits look just like our physical bodies. We are spirits in the material world. I can't say this enough. I've said it before. The Police, when they came up with that song in 1981, they were way ahead of their time. That was a revolutionary song back then, and it still holds true 40 years afterwards, 43 years afterwards. We are spirits in the material world. But don't worry, everything's okay. Everything's just the way it's supposed to be, and you have a lot of protection out there. You've got angels. Everyone's got at least four angels / spirit guides that will help you, are helping you all the time. You just can't see them because they're not in the physical dimension, right? Just like there's an underwater dimension, there's a physical dimension. They're in the spirit dimension. And you will, I will, we'll all see that one day, hopefully far into the future, because every day here on Earth, learning is a great opportunity. That's why suicide is never a good thing, because you throw all that work that you've done up until that point away, you got to start again. And as I was saying, life here on Earth is so hard. And it's known for that around the universe, that this is an extremely difficult planet to live on. So please, let me give you a little bit of encouragement and inspiration. You are doing great for even surviving another day on this planet. There's 1,001 ways to die besides the freeways out there. All the animal life, as I mentioned, you go into the ocean and you realize quickly that you're not on top of the food chain. There's some pretty awesome man-eaters out there, so to speak, and in the jungle. I mean, I can name them off for you if you want me to, but you know. We just need our intellect to survive. And by the way, on the subject of intellect, now we all pride ourselves on our intelligence, don't we? Yes, we do. I do. I like to be known as being intelligent. You know, same thing when we were in school. We'd like to get good grades. Anybody out there not like getting good grades? Not like getting A's and B's? Probably very, very few people didn't care what they got. Especially their parents wanted them to do well, right? I was watching this near-death experience on a YouTube channel called Coming Home. And this woman, she talked about her parents, how they expected her to perform. And a lot of our, most of our parents do expect us to get A's and B's. So we do pride ourselves on our intelligence. I do. I did back then. I like getting A's and B's. I like being proud of that. So for most people who pride themselves, let's just say everybody, on their intelligence, when you have all this conflict here on Earth, you've got a lot of war going on, the reason that we have war and conflict is because some people just don't have the intellect to resolve their differences peacefully. I'll say that again. People don't have the intellect to resolve their differences peacefully. Now, I'm not going to call names. We should not use foul names, my friends. Don't use foul language. It's a sign of a lack of intelligence if you do that. And we all need to keep getting smarter, right? And stronger, because we have to fulfill a mission. We were all given a mission. I was saying this before. We are meant to graduate from this existence and excel, graduate with honors, in other words. And we strive, excuse me, my wife just walked by and I had to move myself, and it's a little bit distracting, so let me get my train of thought here again. So, war, conflict can be stopped. We can have peace in our future by getting smarter. And how do we get smarter? Well, develop yourself spiritually. That's the main thing. How do we develop ourselves spiritually? There are so many resources out there. You just got to want to do it. You have to want to get better. Don't you have that desire, that call of the spirit, the call of the soul to improve yourself? Because if this is a race, if this is a, maybe a race isn't such a good word, if we have a mission, and I guarantee you each and every one listening to the sound of my voice, everybody and every person around the world, at one time in the pre-existence, when they existed before they were born, stood before either the spirit father or the spirit mother as a little spirit, and were given a mission to perform here on Earth. I refer you to a book called The Soul's Remembrance by Roy Mills. Roy Mills, M-I-L-L-S. He was born into this world with the ability to remember the pre-existence, which is a special gift that was given to him. But like I said, most of us have to go to the river of oblivion and the memory of our pre-existence, of our past lives. You might have 5, 10, 15, 20, 50 past lives, maybe more. And universal knowledge, all the answers to your questions, when you get to the spirit realm, you'll be able to give an answer to any question you have just by thinking of it. It'll all make sense. But that's why we're here, one way, to figure out all these answers to our questions before we leave the physical realm. It's kind of like a reacquainting ourselves or a remembering of what we already knew. And that's the beauty of this world, that we can do that. Isn't that amazing? It's almost like a predestination in a way. That we're able to access, to look into the future and see what will happen. In other words, say you pull up in an intersection and you got a red light and a car pulls up alongside you and you look over at that person. And then you look over to the left, maybe, because you've been looking to the right, and you see a lady pushing a baby carriage across the street in the sidewalk. And all of a sudden, you think, wait a second, I've seen that before. You know, kind of like deja vu. You ever had that experience? The theory behind that is that everything has happened already. We're just reliving. It gets kind of complicated, and I don't want to bore you or make you worried or fearful, because there's a tremendous thing going on that we don't really know all the details about. To include the power, just think about the power that it takes to rotate our planet, that mysterious power that is really unknown. I mean, we can name it what we want to, gravity or whatever, but that same power also revolves our planet around the sun, and that same power revolves our sun around the Milky Way galaxy, and the whole universe is held into existence by the might of that power. Now, isn't that an amazing power? And you can attribute that to the creator of the universe, who is omnipotent, right? Omniscient. Do we really know what that means? It means that the creator of the universe is, like, magical. You might have seen Harry Potter in some of those movies and get a little bit of idea, a little idea about what magic is, you know, and you've seen magicians before and other movies depicting people that have the power to make things move and do whatever, you know, to create. That is what the creator has done with this universe. And they say there could even be more. There could even be more universes out there. And I wouldn't be surprised, because the creator is exactly what the word creator implies, a being. Yes, the creator is a being, but apparently not individual, male or female, a combination of both, an electrical kind of being who I heard once described as the aurora borealis, except all the colors of the rainbow are shimmering. Huge, massive energy, electricity that is omniscient also, that you can communicate with, and who knows everything. Creator knows everything. Now, isn't that cool? How would you like to know everything? That's kind of like hard to comprehend. So as I was mentioning, there are these videos out there. You go to YouTube and type in Coming Home NDE Near Death Experience. You'll see a whole bunch of videos, including the one with Donna Rebideau I've mentioned on previous shows before, where she drowned. Yes, she really did drown, was underneath the water, lungs full of water. She left her body, and she had an experience and called it outer space. She went through a veil. That's the River of Oblivion, that veil, kind of like a saran wrap veil. She found herself face to face with the creator of the universe. And she said, oh my God, you are the creator of the universe. She heard back telepathically, I am the creator of the universe. Oh my God, you know everything. Right back immediately, I know everything. So there are so many resources, my friends, for us to develop ourselves spiritually, and it behooves each and every one of us. Kind of like if you want to do well and get good grades, then hold on just a minute, please. If you want to do well and get good grades, you study, right? And you're doing it not only for other people, but for yourself. So when we were younger, going through school, we were doing it for our parents. Now you're on your own for your own personal satisfaction, to be proud of yourself. And we need to continue that, striving to improve ourselves every day, to be the best we can be, kind of like the Olympians. And hold on just a minute, please.
Becky, take
it down. Sorry, I'm up here with my wife, and she just got a phone call, and I heard a voice. She went in the bathroom, but I heard a voice that she was talking with, and it was loud, and so it was distracting me. I did have my show many a time down in the patio for years, until just recently my reception was not good, and so I moved up to our bedroom, and last week and this week my wife has been here, and I don't mind if she wouldn't be here, and she just got a call and she went into the bathroom, and I could hear the person on the speakerphone. Friends, I'll tell you the truth. You know, I was watching before my show. I took a quick power nap for about 30 minutes before my show because I've been pretty busy all day. I went to a Toastmasters meeting this morning. I was the Toastmaster of the day, which means I was like the master of ceremonies. We had about 10 people there. And I talked about the Olympics. And so I had to go out again. I had to pick up some dry cleaning. I mentioned that. I came back. And then my show started. And so I'm being a little bit distracted here. I apologize. But let me change subjects. Actually, related to what I was saying, the Olympians, about improving ourselves. Now, these people, they dedicate a lot of time and effort, don't they, to being the best they can be and improving themselves because they want to compete on that world stage, which is a good thing for humanity, right? It's better than fighting each other and killing each other, having some friendly competition. It can be fierce, but it helps us to grow, right? Personal growth is a good thing. And now the dogs come in. Come on. I'm getting distracted. That's okay. So personal growth, as with Toastmasters, is the same with these Olympians. Remember when you were in school, did you play any sport? You know, my son played basketball. I played baseball in my 11th and 12th grades in Guadalajara, Mexico. And I know a lot of young men play football and women play other sports. And so we compete to push ourselves to the limit. I'm sure that some of these Olympians and in other sports, they wouldn't be doing as well if they weren't pushed by, you know what I mean? Like I watched the 100 meter, Barry Richardson, Julian Alfred, she won the gold medal. She's really fast. I didn't really realize how fast she was. But when you get them all together and they're trying to get to the finish line first, it pushes them to the point where they improve. They get that personal growth. They see that improvement. And we don't need competition. It's not the only way. There's other ways, too, to achieve that personal growth. And probably the most important way is through spiritual development. And whether it's reading books about near-death experiences or extraterrestrial phenomena, finding out about the beings that are in the universe, your fellow brothers and sisters and all around this huge, huge place, home we call the universe, or watching videos on YouTube about near-death experiences. Anyway, I'll have to change things around next week, I think. So I apologize for today, but let me keep on going. I will keep on going and tell you a little bit more about Astral Legends. If you want to know about who the first race was in the universe and what happens when we die, and about astral travel, and if you want to learn about the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets, which has about 26,000 plus members out there in the universal community who are dedicated towards having peace throughout the universe. Space is supposed to be a peaceful domain, my friends. There's no room for war and conflict in space because it's a beautiful domain that was created by the Creator. And one thing you don't want to do is make the Creator angry. And if you destroy rather than create, you could be subject to the wrath of the Creator. And make no mistake, when you're dealing with an omnipotent, omniscient being, you don't want to get on its bad side. Yet some beings do that. The reptilians, there's many variations of the reptilian race that have been known to have intergalactic wars. And it's been going on for millions of years. They existed before even our Milky Way galaxy existed. And then there's many other humanoid races like us around the Milky Way galaxy and in other galaxies, different variations, so many different variations out there in size and shape and color skin and eyes and levels of development. A lot of them have achieved that technological development so that they can have just about mastered the universe and traveling anywhere interdimensionally, time traveling even. Some very incredibly intelligent species out there for sure. And a lot of them belong to the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets. As I mentioned, they are dedicated to keeping peace, to dealing with these rogue nations, these rogue species that are interested in destroying rather than creating. But don't worry, they have got our back, so to speak. Astral Legends talks about that. There's so many really cool videos, especially the ones, there's four of them videos that talk about all these different species. And they say, they put it this way, these are the species that we know exist. They don't say we believe, and they say we know. They know. They don't believe, they know exist. So I like that, you know, that's cool. And when you can say I know rather than not believe, I don't question how they got the knowledge, but their videos are so artistically perfect. I don't know if they made these beings up or if they are in fact real. They do such a great job at showing what these beings look like, and even their eyes. You can almost like they're looking back at you from the television screen. You know, these videos, amazing, beautiful, super intelligent beings are out there waiting for us to get to know them, my friends. And it is the next step. It would take us a huge step in our evolution if we were able to make contact with some of these species and become members of the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets. War would end. Conflict would end. There would be peace. We would understand that the majority of people here on planet Earth want peace. We want to raise our families in peace. We want our children's children to live a peaceful life. And we can do that. The only trouble is there's a minority of human beings in this world who are the troublemakers, the dictators, the tyrants, the bullies, if you will. And what we need to do is find a way to deal with them. And the United States can't point any fingers at anyone, really. We can't be hypocrites, you know, especially these countries that invade other countries. Didn't we just invade Afghanistan recently? Didn't we just invade Iraq recently? I mean, just a few years ago. So how can we point fingers and say, you shouldn't be attacking these other countries, as if we're without sin? Also, nuclear weapons. We should really disarm. All of us should disarm nuclear weapons. They're so extremely dangerous and powerful, even though they're not the most dangerous thing. Material possessions, money, actually, believe it or not, is more dangerous than nuclear weapons. Trying to get more and have so many people that are poverty-stricken and dying of starvation, all because of the monetary system, we're ignoring these people, and they're dying thousands each day because they don't have any money, no food, no water. But like I was saying, it's just a small minority. I would say roughly 20% of the overall population in the world, at that much. 80% of us are the good, family-oriented, decent, loving, generous, kind people who are always doing the right thing, you know. My friends, this life is all about doing what's right and finding out what's wrong. We should know by now, especially when you get older, the difference between right and wrong. And some people might not have a lot of time to figure it out, you know. Tomorrow is not guaranteed for any of us, right? So you could be down to your last chance. The stakes are high, my friends, to find out what's right, what's wrong. And if you do something wrong, then you make an on-the-spot correction. You move on. Try not to make the same mistake again, right? That's all you can do. But we're smart enough. We should be getting smart enough now, all of us, all us human beings living here on this planet, to know the difference between right and wrong. And I know it's an experiential thing, but we've got to sleep with ourselves at night, and our spirits are real. You know, the spirit world is more real than this world here, my friends. When we transition to the afterlife, we find ourselves as a pure spirit, and find out that we're made of light energy. We can look down at our bodies and see all the cellular structure of our spirit bodies, billions of cells, each one kind of like teeming with life, you know, brimming, jumping with life, if you will, because that's what electrons are like. So you could have a spirit body, and made of all these individual cells, millions of them, and you can almost communicate with those cells because they're almost like they've got a mind of their own, so to speak. It's like Donna Ribado, the woman I was telling you about who drowned and she left her body. She met the creator of the universe. But before she met the creator of the universe, she found herself in the spirit and looked down, and she said that the cells of her body look like happy faces. I know you might think this is strange or weird, but I believe it's true. Because, as I mentioned, the spirit is made out of light energy, and that light energy is really nothing more than electrons. And they were all giggling, and she was saying, "What's so funny?" And they said, he's coming. And she said, "Who's coming?" And that's when she said she saw the creator of the universe come up from like behind planet Earth And then she said she realized she was in the presence of the creative universe, that he, she looked like an aurora borealis, all the colors of the rainbow. And that's when she started having a telepathic communication with the creator. And if you want to get caught up in the what I would consider a lower evolved, although it's a stepping stone to where we need to go, religion is, that's what I was trying to get to. And the Bible and other books, they're great. It's better to believe, don't get me wrong, it's better to believe in God than not believe in God. Non-believers don't have much of a future in this world, if you know what I mean. When they die, they could find themselves in a realm that they wouldn't want to be in, and they would be very regretful and remorseful for not having known better. But my point is that we as spirits, and like Donna Rebido said, are made of light energy, and our souls are the brains of our spirit. Just like you have a brain, I have a brain in my physical body, the soul is the brain of the spirit. So when we transition to the afterlife, then that is a more real environment. That is a more real state of existence. And I just had to move again. Hold on. Let me go back to something I was saying. How can we increase our intellect? Well, besides watching those videos and reading books and saying prayers also, establish a relationship with the creator of the universe. Establish a relationship with the Father God in heaven and the Mother God, because there is a Mother God. Don't believe that the Father God wouldn't want a female companion at his side. Do you think the Father God would want a female companion at his side? Does that make sense? Well, who would say that the Father God couldn't have a female companion at his side? I've said this before, my friends. The universe is a universe of males and female. Male and female. The creator of the universe is both male and female. All the way back to the Big Bang, that point in the center of the universe, when it began forming itself, one solar system after another, and one galaxy after another. It's always been about the yin, the yang, the alpha, the omega, the positive, the negative, the male, the female. And please don't leave this existence, because some of us might not be here tomorrow and not know the truth. You should be seeking the truth. Question everything, like Ancient Aliens says, question everything. Don't take everything what you're being told for granted. There's a lot of knowledge coming from way back when, thousands of years ago, trying to tell us who have evolved over 2,000 years the way it is, to be following. And people are making communication with God all the time. And you can too, just by saying the correct prayers. Communicate, know who you're communicating with, know what that entity looks like, then you'll be making some progress. You go outside in your backyard and look up into the evening sky and see all those stars or suns out there in other solar systems. That's a good opportunity to just say a prayer to the creator of the universe. And wait and watch for the creator to answer you back. Maybe you might imagine you hear something, but you got to keep it up. My favorite saying, and I'll say it again, is that man will pray, and women also, P-R-E-Y, on man, until man and women learn to pray, P-R-A-Y, for man. That came directly from the creator of the universe. I won't go into the details, but take it from me. I didn't make that up. That came from God, creator, his or herself. that man here on earth will pray, P-R-E-Y on man. In other words, lots of war, conflict, like it's been happening over the last few thousands of years, beginning the first human beings here on earth. Not necessarily, because some of the earlier civilizations like it, really good, productive civilizations. They weren't always intent on killing each other, and they lived in cooperation and peace and sharing. The human beings who lived in Lemuria, Mu, in the Pacific Ocean, in that continent, they had really good technology. They had the electromagnetic technology. And reviewed the different sounds of nature. They would play that sound with music. And also they would share everything they had. There was no monetary system. So everybody had something. You always had something to give somebody. So whatever you needed, whether it was meat or vegetables or fruit, flowers, you had only flowers, if you grew only flowers, you trade some flowers for some meat. You get what I'm saying? It was a sharing back then. And that really existed. You know, I'll be 70 years old next Friday. 70 years old. I was born after World War II. But our civilization goes back thousands of years. Back to the Egyptians and beyond. But then there were some cataclysmic events that happened, and that apparently do happen on a routine basis. Asteroids that may come from outer space and from where we don't know. It could be out there in the asteroid belt or in a neighboring solar system that might be on a beeline on a target to hit planet Earth sometime in the future. Our scientists and astronomers don't know for sure, because we can't see them with our telescopes, everything out there, right? And we can only see so far, right? So this could all stop instantly if we were hit by some massive asteroids. And you know, something as small as a 1-mile-wide asteroid hitting the Earth at like 40,000 miles an hour could stop the Earth rotating on its axis. And that's just a 1-mile-wide asteroid, you know. It would hit the Earth with just a tremendous impact. But imagine one 40 miles wide, or maybe 100 miles wide, or 1,000 miles wide. You know, it could wipe out every human being on this planet, hit the surface of the Earth. You know, I think could withstand a really big place. Would have to start it again. And it's done when. So, if you can take anything away from that is me too, because here for my own purposes, you know, because I've learned from people, and I'm hoping that you can learn from me, because it's just the sharing of knowledge that tomorrow is not guaranteed. There is a quest for knowledge that's going on, the seeking of truth. And the resources are out there. You just have to walk alone. You're going to die alone. You have to find out what's right, what's wrong by yourself. Don't trust everything that you hear. Question everything. Seek the truth. I was telling you earlier, I was watching. Have you ever heard of a movie called Risen about Jesus, about this Roman? He was in charge of, I forget, he worked for the emperor, Pontius Pilate back then. I forget what they called him, but he was in charge of a whole lot of soldiers. And I don't know if it's a historic fact, he didn't know Jesus, and so he left. He saw him perform these miracles. Greater he came, no more nor sin, the life of Jesus and the miracles that he performed, whether or not you're from another religion, Muslim, Buddhist, Vishnu, whatever religion, Jewish, the man actually did perform those miracles. The life of Jesus is such an incredible thing. All those miracles, and then the resurrection. But even more than the resurrection, think about the ascension. When he looked at his disciples at the end there, he knew he was leaving them, and he walked away. They woke up one morning. They couldn't find him. They looked around. There he was over in the distance. And within hearing distance, he said to them, go forth and spread the gospel around the world. And remember, I will be with you always. And don't, I hope it doesn't sound like I'm being contradictory to what I say. The life of Jesus is such a noble pursuit to study. The miracles that he performed are so worthy of study and reverence. All that he did, curing the lepers, curing the blind, those who were paralyzed, feeding the people at the Sermon on the Mount, all those miracles, raising Lazarus from the dead, and the resurrection, coming back, and he told them that he would be coming back from the dead, too. He told them. They didn't, you can't blame them, you know, because they were trying to survive. There was people out to get him, but before he ascended up into heaven, well, I won't say up to heaven, not necessarily heaven right away, the Spirit is there next to the Spirit Mother and Father in heaven. I've talked about this, I only have a little bit of time, but he ascended up into a spaceship, which was above the clouds, out of sight. And that spaceship and those extraterrestrials are very instrumental in helping us, helping him with those miracles that he performed, like whenever he got in trouble and they were trying to stone him and he disappeared, you know, you read about that in the Bible a couple of times at least. And healing people, raising Lazarus from the dead. I can get into the details, but suffice it to say, and this is my theory on it, you know, I'm entitled to my opinion. It's like you're entitled to yours. I've said it before on previous radio shows, and I'll say it again. So tune in for next week. Thank you for listening. Lots of love. I love you as a human being, a fellow human being, and may the Creator of the universe bless all of us and help us to survive here and have peace on this planet. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.